around the world. We appreciate you, and we're looking forward to our convention. We have a lot of great men and women coming to this convention, and our local people here in Merced, California. Everybody is welcome, and we're going to have a great time. We have great men that are coming here. Pastor Marla from Bradenton, Florida, is coming. Pastor Ketron from Las Vegas is coming with members of his church. Pastor Simba and his wife, I think, is coming from Zimbabwe. Bishop Rativi. Bishop Rativi has never been to Merced. Came close, but he's never come, so we're just excited for Bishop Rativi, and we hope that Sister Rativi could come. We have to see, we don't know, but we want them, and everybody, and all the ministers that I could give you the names of, and we want to welcome everybody. We want God to just move in this section of the United States, yes. California. We really need some rain. I mean, not just natural rain, but spiritual rain in our section. And we looking forward to these men, Brother Manning, Brother Gunter. Brother Manning is a good preacher, young man. Brother Gunter, he'll just tear the roof off. And we just look for all these men. We hope and pray that
Pastor from Iowa.
Brother Deloy Smith, we praying that we haven't heard that we want him to come. And he's a good teacher. And all the, we just invite all of the ministers and the saints of God to come. Amen. And Brother Cole from Louisiana, we're hoping that he could come, he and his wife. And Dale and Connie and Sister Pat and everybody around that we're just hoping that they could come. Brother Jerry and his wife from Pittsburgh. We just want everybody to come, our friends, and just share with us and preach up. And this is one pastor I'm not going to get in the way. I want the ministers to bless you and to pour out their hearts, so when they're gone, you will be even richer in the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I need your support. Need your support. And Pastor, love you. Love the church. And everybody here is in my heart. I pray for you all. And thank you also for your support. My ministry is to save you. Help you. Not to destroy you. I'm learning to be a merciful person. A merciful man. And I learned that from other ministers, plus I learned that from studying, plus I learned that from the Word of God. How merciful. And this morning, so many scriptures was quoted about God. And before we sit down, I want you to, if I could bring out a little bit more to you, then that would be profitable. This is a Bible church. And you find that we laugh and we have good times, But we're serious. We stay in the scriptures. And you can look at your scriptures and see the purpose of this church. It's not just to build another church, but it's to build a church upon the Word of God. Yeah. When you get on your feet, you notice, you see how Brother Head might be sitting back there. And he got up, but the Word, he's hearing. Rebecca, he's hearing. And you and your husband came here, and you stayed. You love the church, and you're good people. Amen. And you're faithful. Amen. Can depend on you. You're good material, quality. Amen. And you have that about you, the qualities that you love God. And you work, and you want to see the church grow. And then you see how God is working in your husband, what he's doing. He might be sitting back there, but during the convention, he's not just going to sit back there, but he'll come out and be more visible. But he is learning. And I know that he's a faithful brother. And we thank you all for your goodness. And we're here to save you, to help you. Okay? To see that you make it into the kingdom of God. And that's why I'm here. That's my purpose. It's not to drive you away from God, but it's to bring you to the Lord. Amen. See, that is my purpose. You're not here because I'm looking. You're my meal ticket. No, that's not why you're here. I don't receive a salary and not like that. But we live, and God supplies my need. And we're happy, and God is faithful to us. We look around, and the church is here, and God help us every month to pay our bills. And it's because of God using you, your faithfulness. When you have something, you put it in the offering, and you put the church first, and that's why we can be having our convention. And we ask you to continue to be faithful, because that's the only way you'll have a church in this part. And not a church that's behind, but a church that we're not lacking in anything. Amen. But we are equal to our brethren, to other churches. And no competition, but we are equal. In faithfulness, in giving, and in obeying the word of God. Now, I am trying to bring this to a close, but there's so much scriptures. When we started in Psalms 142, a few weeks back, about bringing your soul out of prison. Now, has anybody ever come to you and said, "Are you saved? Is your soul saved?" So you understand what I'm saying. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? All right. What they're really saying is your soul revive in the Lord, resurrect in the Lord. See, out of prison. See, is your soul free to serve the Lord? As we hear all these scriptures this morning, bring my soul out of prison. Why? That I may praise thy name. Underline that. Bring me out of prison that I may praise the Lord. If you go to a church and they're not praising the Lord, something is wrong. They might be in prison. But when the Holy Spirit touches you, have you ever felt a touch? We were feeling it this morning, and when our sister Linda was singing that song, about the, what were the words? My soul is anchored in the Lord. That's it. See, and then there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. Look at that. Put that up. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Look at that. Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, which hope? No, let's all read that together right now, because that's a powerful scripture. Verse 19 says, which hope? Go to verse 18. Which hope? All right. This is powerful. This is powerful now. Listen, let me slow down here. Let's read. That by two immutable things, that an immutable thing cannot be changed, has no ending. Okay? Unchangeable. Immutable. Now, here's what God did. Now, God is unchangeable. Do you understand that? God cannot lie. When God make a promise to you, it will come to pass. It has to be. Now, he said that by two immutable things, not one, but two, one would have been enough. But I'm going to show you something right here. Said, in the which, by two immutable things, in the which it was impossible for God to lie. No, God's not a liar. God cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. When God tells you something, you can take it the first time. He doesn't have to tell you again. He doesn't have to swear again to you, because one time is good enough. But listen what he did. By two immutable things in the which... You're not reading it. Come on. Come on. Verse, am I there? Are we there? That by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie. We, because God cannot lie, because of these two immutable things, because of God and the oath that he took, immutable, unchangeable, your salvation. My goodness. The devil is a liar. He tried to scare you and said, you're not saved. You're going to be lost. It's a lie. It's a lie. Your salvation is based upon two immutable things. Said, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for our refuge. We fled for refuge from sin, from the devil, from the wicked one, from the prison house of the devil, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What's that hope? What's that hope? God set a hope before you. And God, the word of God said that by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie, and to give you an assurance when he told you, he swore by himself. When he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself of how sure and steadfast your salvation is. Oh, you ought to shout. Next verse says, verse 19, which hope? What's the hope? The hope is in the two immutable things. The hope of your salvation is in the fact that God swore by himself, by a oath and a promise, that you are saved, delivered, set free from the power of the devil. You're out of prison. You ought to shout. You're out of prison. The prisoners of the devil, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Does anybody know what an anchor is? An anchor holds you down. You can't move in the storms. Secure. And the anchor is also Jesus. And we are anchored in him. We are anchored in God. What happened when the storm rise up at sea? They cast the anchor out. And we are on a stormy sea. But we don't have to be afraid, because we have a hope as an anchor. Hallelujah. An anchor for the soul. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Notice, both sure and steadfast. Listen. It's steadfast, it's unmovable, it's sure, it's steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. That's in the Holy of Holies. Your anchor is in the... You think your anchor is just in Merced. That's a problem. That's a problem, and somebody trouble you or say something about you, you get upset because you think your anchor is here. And you, something is going on in your life, and you say, the devil is going to root me up. You don't understand. You don't understand. Your anchor is in the veil, within the veil, amen, in the Holy of Holies. There's something that's holding you in God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
My, my. There's something that makes you grounded, unmovable in the Lord.
Yeah.
You think the devil can just pull you and root you up? No. God didn't just leave it up to you. God anchors you in his son.
Yeah.
Within the veil. That's why when the devil comes in, like a flood, the Holy Ghost comes and sets you free. And if the Son of God has set you free, Oh, yes, you're free indeed. The next verse says, whither, if you can get this, whither the forerunner, who's the forerunner? Who is a forerunner?
Jesus.
Someone that has gone on before you to clear out and make sure everything is in right and the right place.
Yes.
Jesus went ahead of us.
Yes.
He's a forerunner. And he's gone, he's entered. The forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That this morning you ought to be shouting. Because here's what Jesus did for you. He entered within the veil, in the very presence of God. And Stephen said, I saw him standing on the right hand of God. So those stones could not remove Stephen. Okay, next verse says, that's it. Now, your soul is anchored. Don't you sit here this morning and think, well, the devil is just going to, I'm not sure the devil can destroy me. No, he cannot. Because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. I'm not here to preach fear and preach how strong the devil is. I'm here to tell you he's a liar and God is greater than the devil. I'm here to tell you that your salvation is sure. Preachers get up and tell you, well, I don't know if you're going to be saved or lost. I know you're saved.
Amen.
And God gave you eternal life. Eternal life. And he goes on and he tells us that because he lived. Are you not listening? Why are we alive? Because he's alive. Because he lived, we shall live also. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, my question is, where does the devil come in? Tell me, where does he come in? He doesn't have any place to get in. And the Bible tells you, give no place to him. Shut the door in his face. You were brought to the kingdom. You know why you're alive right now? To do battle with the devil. To push him back. Not to be controlled by the devil. Not to let the devil tell you a lie. But to tell the devil, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We're fighters. Why weren't we born 100 years ago? Because God didn't need us then. But why are we here today? To sing and praise and clap and shout and let the devil know that God's alive. Let the devil know that we're children of God. Hey, God has some children here. So the Bible tells us to shout unto God. Lift up your voice. Don't let the devil tell you you can't praise him. Are you making too much noise? If they can make noise at the ball game, we can make noise in the church. Now, I want to, for a few minutes, use some scriptures. Because we've been talking about the soul. Psalm 63 that Brother Andre touched is powerful. And Psalms 33 that Sister Rosie touched is powerful. And we heard, my soul thirsting for God. That's getting hungry. You get a church that's thirsting for God and you won't have to. That's revival. It thirsts. My heart and my flesh cry out for God. Yea, for the living God. That's revival. I want water for my soul. That's the word. That's the spirit of God. Now, in Micah, let's look at Micah chapter 6 and go to verse 9. Start at verse Now, verse 6. Micah. You find that?
Yeah.
Chapter 9, verse 6. Micah 6. Micah 6 and verse 6. Yeah, verse 6. You got that? Okay, I got it right now. Now here's some question asked by the writer. Powerful question that you need to know. You need to see that. You need to follow that, right? A few minutes. That's why you can shout, because when you get the word of God like Wednesday night, you get that scripture from Isaiah. That was powerful. You need to go over that. But here's another one. Here's another one. Let's read. Notice that it's questions. It's asking questions, right? And you're the one that asking the questions. The prophet asked the question, but now it's your turn to ask the questions and get the answer. Okay? He's not just the writer, it's you. You need some answer. And you're asking now, you want to serve God and you want to do it right. So verse 6 says, wherewith shall I, that's you, put your name in it. Not somebody else. Not the person beside you. But he said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? That's the presence of the Lord. How do I come? How do I approach the presence of God? Now, and how? No, and bow myself before the high God. How do I do that? How do I do that? Before you come to the scriptures, say, oh, I have the answer. I just walk in and lift my hands and start to singing and come on. How do I come? How do I prepare myself? How do I present? Like if you were going to visit a royalty, they would instruct you before. If you're going to meet the president, you can just walk in. They will give you, what's the word? Is that right? How to reach? You have to go through some kind of a polishing up. Amen? Now, that's what he's saying now. How do I approach God, or how do I come in the presence of God? How do I do that? You know, because a lot of us, we don't have no reverence or respect. We don't even know who God is. I was watching that wedding yesterday. Maybe some of you did. You see the dignity, order, the timing, everything. Now, if they could do that, what about the church? So it's asking, now, how do I come before the majesty and I?
Yes, that's it.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you understand that now? How do you prepare yourself? And bow myself before the high God. Then here now. It's asking another set of questions in a form of an answer. Shall I come before him with burnt offering? Is that the thing that's going to get me in his presence and that would really qualify me to come into the presence of the Lord? Let me get a burnt offering, a lamb or something like that. And I come and I present it, and then I will be qualified to enter the presence of the Lord. He said, with calves of a year old, tender, the best of the flock. The best thing that I have. He said, qualify me to come into the presence of God. Verse 7. This awesome. Then it goes on now. It's keep moving now. And he's searching for an answer. Then the prophet Micah is searching for an answer. He said, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? All of my wealth, all of my bank account, my finances, would he be pleased with everything I've got? Would that make me qualified to approach him and stand in his presence? And you notice, it's I, me, my, what I've got. Would he be pleased with thousands of rams, or let's increase it, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? I mean, that's wealthy. That's riches. Then notice here now, you get more. You ought to read the Bible because it's awesome. I can preach, but nobody can answer this but you. These are a set of questions that's asking, that you have to answer, because you're the one that's asking it. And everybody is different. It's not, well, pastor asked me or that. It's you personally. How do you come before the Lord? He said, shall I give, notice, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Now, your firstborn son, my firstborn, should I offer up my firstborn son as a sacrifice for my sins? Would that be enough? If I offer up my child to God, the best, you love your child, and you offer him up like Abraham. See, Abraham and his son Isaac. When God said, take your son, your only son, and go 3 days journey and offer him up as a sacrifice on the mountain that I will show you. But when Abraham went there and made the altar, and his son said, Father, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Are you going to offer up me as your firstborn son to God? And just about when Abraham was ready to offer up his son, God stopped him. Are you listening now? And God opened his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And when Isaac asked his father, says, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Abraham said to him, my son, God will prepare, God will provide himself a sacrifice. So the question is, should I bring my firstborn for the transgression of my soul? The answer is no. God as a firstborn, he has a sacrifice, he has a ram, he has a lamb, the lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Shall I give my firstborn? Will I bring a ram or a lamb? Abel brought a lamb, but that was a type of Christ, that suffering, bleeding lamb that John saw, the Lamb of God. Yes. That's what Abel brought. John saw it. John explained what Abel did. Yes. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's all you can bring to God. That's all we can bring to God. Jehovah, my provider. Shall I give this? But you don't. He's a provider. Yeah. Hallelujah. He is a provider. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? No. Your child, the best you've got, cannot forgive you, cannot take away your sins. But I know someone else. I know another man. I know the Son of God, Jesus, that can take away your sins. Hallelujah. You have no sacrifice. You have no offering. Nothing you and I have or can do that can take away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So, there was a song On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, sinking sand. What can I give? Your children? The firstborn? The fruits of your body? No. It's not acceptable. What a question. What a verse. What a scripture. The fruit of my body for the sins of my soul. It's powerful. So there's nothing you can do. Somebody said, but I made a mistake. I can't come to church till I correct it. No, you never get it corrected. There's no sacrifice that you can make. You cannot go through some kind of ordinance or a little thing and, well, I come back and I go to church when everything is settled and written. No, that's not the way. All you've got to come to Jesus just as you are. He wants us just like we are. Filthy, dirty, down, cast down, discouraged, disappointed, aching, wounded, hurting. He comes, right, to bind up broken hearts and to heal wounds and to set captives free. That's why he came. Nobody can do it for you. That broken heart, that trouble you're going through, the sorrow you're going through, nobody can fix it. Nobody can fix it. When Israel was going through, Ephraim was wounded in the prophets. When you read, you'll understand next time. In the prophets. And they were running to the nations and King Jareb and all of that, Egypt, for healing. There's no healing. There's no healing out of Jesus. That's why Israel was wounded. Isaiah said, from the whole head is sick, from the top right down to the sole of the feet. And the whole human race is sick from the top, from the creation of Adam until now. And only Jesus could come and stop the wounds and close them up. And today he wants to close every wound. Close your wounds and my wounds. Because that's why he came. He was wounded for our transgressions. So this applied personal, not for the next person. Every one of us come on to this. What shall I give to the Lord? What shall I render to the Lord? Then here he's coming now. Remember all those questions? And questions deserve an answer. Now here, let's go find the answers, right? Remember what all those verses are. About was it 6 and 7 question and all that. But now let's find some answer. Who's the best person to tell us the answer? Jesus. God. Let's go to him. What does he say? He hath showed thee, O man, no gender, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee. What? Remember the verses? The requirement? No, it's the verses. What does he require of you? Let's find out. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the word? Let's find out. But here's what he required. But to do justly, one, and to love mercy, and three, and to walk humbly with thy God. Look at three simple things. For all the questions you have, all the problems you have, there's just three simple things. My God. We go through all kind of headache and torments. I don't know if the Lord still loves me. I've done so many things. He loves you. Here it says right here. This is what he requires. See the word requires? This is what the Lord requires of thee. Do justly. And the word justly, I want to just, let me see. Justly. It said according to what is morally right or fair. justifiable thing. Justly. In a just manner, honesty, fair, and so on. God just requires you to deal right and fair with your brothers and your sisters. That's all. Honestly, don't deceive them. Don't try to outsmart them. Don't outsmart God, outsmart the church. Amen? That's all. Very simple. Don't be unjust to them. But be just. Be fair. Be honest. Is that right? That's all God requires. Fair. Don't say one thing and you do another thing. No, that's not hard. Really, it's not. Yeah, amen? It's not hard. And the next one, but to love mercy. This is powerful. To love mercy. What does that mean? It means that when somebody do you wrong, you override it with mercy. Yeah. When you could have put them in jail, destroy them. When you take a blanket and you cover their nakedness. Amen. Like Noah's two sons. Yes. They went in backwards. Let me borrow this. Come here, Brother Andre. No, you're taller than me, so you better sit down. Come here, Rosie. I'm smart. This man is taller than me, man. Hold this here, Rosie. Now, here, you see? Now, Noah was naked in the man's bedroom. He's got, you know, and his boy passed by and saw and began to expose him and told the other brothers outside. So what the two brothers did, Ham saw the nakedness, but Shem and Japheth took a covering. Okay, she can. And they went in. Come close to me. Yeah, right in this one, this hand. Took a covering, and instead of going forward to see the nakedness and the ugliness of the father, they didn't do that. Guess what they did? They went in backward. They didn't want to see. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know what you know. Pastor, let me tell you, I don't want to hear. I'm going backward. See, instead of going forward into mess, into somebody's business, somebody's life, I know something about you. I don't want to hear that. If you all know that when you come to church, I don't sit you down and ask you where you came from, what you did. I don't want to. Forgetting those things which are behind. And I wasn't there. Pastor, if you know how I mess up, you wouldn't want me to join your church. This is not my church, and you're not joining me. Christ knows you. And when you messed up, if he can bring you to the church, that's okay with me. Because if he brings you to church, it's not my job to go forward into and to see what, go backward into whatever, into your life. Whatever way. But we go backwards. And we cover that mess, that nakedness. We don't want to hear. We don't want to know your problems. Oh yeah, I want to know your problems, but not that kind of problem. I don't want to know your problems. Pastor, you know I went to jail. I don't want to hear. I don't, because I don't. That's your business. You don't want to sit down and hear my past? No, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. Because if you tell me and so it gets out, you're going to say, Pastor did it. You can't trust that pastor. You tell him something. So what I'm trying to show you now, because I know the scripture of mercy, mercy is greater than judgment. Amen. You didn't get that? Amen. Mercy, that word mercy. What does God require? Then I know right now, what does he require of me? That I be merciful. See, I'm gonna take a garment and go backwards and cover that. I want to see that. I want to know that. I want to hear that. I don't want to look at that. But I'm going to go forward now. I begin to give you the scriptures. And you're going to come out looking and smelling good. I'm telling you from the Word of God. In my study, by the word, this word came to me and boom, that just, ooh, Lord, this week. It's not something that I make up. This is God just talked to me and give me scriptures. And I preach it like how the Lord gave me. And he said, what does he require of you? So when you come to church, I don't have to drill you and find out everything about you. No. You came to church not to be destroyed or exposed, but you came to church to be washed. Amen. And to be held and to be covered up. My teachers taught me years ago, got good teachers. He said, one, you're a firefighter. She put fires out. He said, you don't set fire in the standing corn. That means the church. You ever see a standing corn? Everybody just raise your hands up. Lift them up. Have you passed down, drive down on the road and see the cornfield? Look at you. Standing corn. You don't start fire in it. The tongue is a match. So the first thing a pastor does is operate on the tongue. Or the tongues. Oh, pastor, you don't understand. I speak with other tongues. We wanted you to speak the same language. Amen. The word of God. Other tongues. Amen. Yeah? Amen. Now, the next thing he said, my teacher taught me, said, a pastor is a burying ground. Everything, he buries it, and he doesn't. Is it exhume? Yeah. Come on, help me. Amen. He doesn't dig it up. When pastor knows something, they say, oh, pastor said it. No. It dies. Because that's my job. My job is a burying ground. I'm a burying ground. You let down, nobody digs it up. Can't. It's buried. You understand what it means?
Yeah.
And that's why you don't have gossip and be afraid and people destroy you. Because this church is a burying ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm preaching from the Bible. What do you do? How do I come before him? He said, with mercy. Look at it. He said, and to love, but to love mercy. That means when that brother or that sister is hurting, I love to forgive them. I love to see them happy. I love to see them right more than to see them sad. That's mercy. When everybody's saying destroy, destroy, I say no. Mercy. Hallelujah. Yeah, when that song. But mercy says no. Mercy reached down for us. When I should be destroyed. Let me tell you something. I've seen God showed me mercy and mercy and mercy. I should have been dead, buried, destroyed, forgotten. But God didn't destroy me. And if God, who is greater than I am, I have to have mercy. Love mercy. When everybody said destroy, you say mercy. Well, Pastor, you don't know what the... You're heading backwards to put the garment. This Bible is wonderful, man. Mercy. That's real love when you love mercy. When they hold you. Give me back my $1,000. You hold me in. That. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to just. You show them mercy. It's okay. I remember back home, I was trying to get a piece of land where I came from. And I know the woman swindled me over $12,000. That was a lot. I went there and I saw her condition. Her mother was dying. I told her, I said, "You don't owe me nothing. I forgive you." She was hiding from me. When I went there, she was hiding. I got her to come out. She was afraid. I said, "Don't be afraid. I've forgiven you $12,000. That's mercy. And since then, I've got more than that $12,000. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a savior. I could have taken her to court. And there was some of my relatives standing there. And they were upset with me. Yes, why did you do that? Take her to court. For what? For what? And the Lord showed me, I didn't want you to go that way anyway. Go to buy a piece of land and go home to Jamaica and just live and stay there. God didn't want, look at me today. I wouldn't be here. But mercy. Mercy reached down for me. And I forgave her. And God showed me mercy. My wife and I was discussing this morning, and she said to me, "Nobody knows. They see the pastor come down and say he's going for surgery and all that, but nobody knows where you've been." She said, "You've been close to death." She saw me. She saw me in the hospital. You don't know. If God had allowed that to go to June, I might not have made it. I was sick. I came down here many times. I mean, I just made it. I was, because I'm a pastor, I was determined if I'm going to die, I'm going to die standing here preaching something. Amen. But it was awful. But in that time, like Brother Andrew was saying, in that time, there's something, that's what we can talk, there's something that came up inside. And you used to examine your life and say, "Lord, show me and forgive me." Yeah. And as you forgive me, I forgive. Yeah. And when people that you thought was, you know, you were, you know, now it's so easy to talk to them. To show them mercy. Amen. That cousin of yours that you haven't talked to for 20 years. But now, you feel a love. In your heart. Why? Because of his mercy and what he did for you. And we're following him into within the veil. We're on our way, my folks. We're on our way, saints. Let me close. So, do justly and to love. Notice, love, mercy, and merited favor. Said, "I'm forgiving you and I love to forgive you. I know you don't deserve it. You don't. And by right, if I was to apply justice, right? Justice would be that I destroy you, I expose you, I'm upset with you, I'm mean with you, I'm just, that's justice. But mercy answers now. And mercy say, "Yes, that's terrible. Yes, that's wrong." That's why God forgave us, because justice would be to destroy us, and he would be right. But there, the other side of God says mercy. That's why we're here. Mercy. You can call it grace, whatever you want to call it. And look at us today, pardoned and forgiven. Now, if God forgive me, forgive us our debt, or try, as we forgive, that's mercy. Amen. Mercy is the sweetest word. It's a powerful word. Because that's what Christ did. I mean, he comes back, he's going to forgive the nations. They're going to repent. The mercy he shows to the men of Nineveh. My God, the mercies of God. Oh, love. It's love divine when I should destroy you. When we should have been dead. Over. I have no claim, no righteousness. And yet, he loves me. Do you understand that? To love mercy. Try that. Try loving mercy. I heard it in the, they were talking in the wedding. They were using Songs of Solomon. It was powerful. Many waters cannot quench love. You know what I mean? The water of suffering, persecution, and what you did me over and over and over, and I still love you. My love is stronger than your what you've done to me, the hurts you've given me. My love is stronger. Yeah. Yeah. Love is stronger than that. In other words, love is stronger than death. Yeah. Yeah. You don't get it. Love, mercy is stronger. Forgiveness is better than holding malice and hurts. You let it out and say, God, wash me, cleanse me, and I forgive. And the Bible says, he forgave you as you forgave those that trespass against you. You forgive me if I forgive? So I'm learning now. I'm using my wife because we settle it upstairs. If I say something wrong, you is different. So we had a misunderstanding. And just, I think I was right. And she thinks she was wrong. Got you. But she thinks she's right. So we both can't be right. It's my wife. I like to provoke her. But in her heart, she knows I'm wrong. She knows I'm deadly wrong. She knows I'm wrong. I went and I just say, blow the credit card. That's why I don't use them. I let her keep them. I've been there before and everywhere I just blow them. And when I don't know what I bought. True. I don't go to the bank. I don't go to the store. I don't go. She said, now, here's mercy. She said, mercy is. All right. She said, I could have had you cleaning up, doing the dishes, doing everything. But mercy is that I let you study the word of God and give you all the time, go to the gym and make something for you to eat. You're not getting it. She told me that. Didn't you tell me up to this morning? She told me that. She said, you're lucky. This is what I've done. She said, I could love you cleaning up the house, putting away stuff, doing that. But mercy, I give you time to study the Bible because I want you to study the Bible. Yeah. That's mercy. Amen. Amen. And I thought of it. I said, that's mercy. Because by right, she goes out to work and come home and clothes is all over. And you know, I did not pick up those paper off the track. I didn't. You don't know what I'm talking about, bro. But when I know she's coming home sometime, I hurriedly pick up some, put away. But what I'm saying now is mercy overlooked. And she knows that I just hurry and put it away. But in her mercy, she overlook. And instead of saying, you didn't do anything, she goes to bed. But she went to the kitchen and started to fix me my favorite meal. That's mercy. Yeah. Give me something I don't deserve. I'll just use that too. To explain simple to you. Don't know if it was good, but you get what I'm saying. You don't get what you deserve. I don't deserve supper. I don't deserve nothing. But yet, our mercy. I hope I explained that. So you guys gotta help me. I'm trying to tell you now what mercy really is. You don't hold grudges or faults to be in the kingdom of God. And then he said to walk humbly with thy God. That's why I tell you, when we come here, we humble. We're not going to show off. We just humble. What a humble church. We're not showing off anything. We walk soft, humble. What the word of God says, I'm going to obey the word of God. That's walking soft, humbly before the Lord. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to stand with the saints. I'm going to stand with the church. I made up my mind that I'm going to serve God. This time I'm going to go all the way. I'm hearing this word. I'm going to take it. What a word. What a word. You've got something. You've got something you can go home and chew on and meditate and say, what can I render? Are you going through all these questions? Should I give my firstborn, the fruits of my body? No. And all of that is a no, 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 no. Should I do this? No. And God answered you and said, this is what you ought to do. Show mercy. Do justly. And walk humbly before thy God. That's all. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Let me tell you something. This will touch your heart. A message like this touch your heart more than anything else. And how do I know? Because I've been listening to it. Upstairs. My study. That's what I do. Day and night. That's what I do. Searching for God. So when I come here, I will have a word to give you. I hope I gave you this morning a word from the Lord. God bless you. We love you. Amen.